morning, everyone. Thanks so much for having me here this morning. It's lovely to be here. So this morning, we're looking at Does God Heal Today? I've got two readings, which I'll read in just 2 seconds, but we're going to be looking to start with what the Bible says about healing. The Gospels show Jesus healing. In fact, 25% of the Gospels are a record of Jesus healing people. In Acts and the rest of the New Testament, it shows the apostles healing people. But the whole Bible tells us how it's in God's very nature to heal us. Exodus 15, verse 26 says, "I am the Lord who heals you." So our first reading this morning is from Psalm 41, verses 2 to 3. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desires of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness. In fact, the whole passage of Psalm 41 is David talking about God's nature, how God loves us, how he wants us to have healing and wholeness in our lives. The second reading we're looking at is from Philippians 4, verse 19. And it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So from these verses, we can see that it's God's nature to provide for us, to see us cared for, to see us loved and healed. And this is something I would really like us to remember this morning as we're looking at this subject. Because if we keep in mind God's nature is that he loves us and wants us healed and whole, when we have these questions that are maybe a little bit harder to answer and a little harder to find the answers for, we should have comfort that in God's nature he wants the best for us. And that comfort should bring healing in itself. God wants us to know that he wants the best for us. The other thing we need to remember about God's nature is that he's steadfast and unchanging. When I was preparing, one of the verses that I came across was in Hebrews 13, verse 8. And it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And I really loved this verse. And it got me thinking about the fact how thousands, tens of thousands of years ago, God was healing the Israelites. Thousands of years ago, Jesus was healing people. And then later, after him, when they'd received the Holy Spirit, they were using their gifts. The apostles were healing people. So if Jesus Christ, who reflects God's nature, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it means healing is very relevant for our lives today. And I really believe that God heals today. So, what about healing today? I've got 3 experiences that I've had that I would like to share with you this morning. The first one is a bit more amazing. A bit more sort of typical to what you would expect to hear from somebody standing up the front at church when we're talking about healing. And it's probably the one that we expect to hear about. The second one is a little bit more subtle, but something that we've probably all experienced in our lives. And the third one is common, but maybe not sort of directly associated with God healing us. So firstly, the amazing one. My dad and I were driving home from Alloa quite a few years back. So it was before we had mobile phones, so I look good for my age. And we were in the car, and as we left Alloa, there's this lovely big stretch of road between Alloa and Kincardine. And on it, there's a lay-by. And there's nothing, there's nothing around for miles. And on the lay-by, there was this broken-down car. And my dad, who's quite handy with cars, decided to stop. It turns out the guys, I don't know what was wrong with the car, but they just needed a jump start. So my dad helped them jump start the car. Unfortunately, when the car was jump started, the guy had left his car in gear. My dad was standing in between the two cars. And so as the car leapt forward, it caught my dad's knee. Now, I can't remember, this is a bit of the story that gets a bit blurry for me, and people sort of are like, why did they leave? But they left, their car had started and they left. I think my dad maybe sort of played down the fact that he was really hurting. But my dad and I were sitting in the car. There was nothing we could do. There was nobody we could call. I couldn't drive. I was too young. We just didn't know what to do. But his knee was too sore to drive us home. So I didn't think anything of it. Just put my hands on his knees and I prayed, Lord God, please heal my dad's knee so we can get home. And we waited a couple of minutes and my dad was like, yep, I'm good, let's go. And his knee, the pain in his knee was gone, and we drove home. And as we got home, we got out the car, got onto the doorstep, and my dad pretty much crumpled. The pain had come back, and we now laugh because the prayer that I prayed was quite specific for us to get home. My dad really wanted me to pray that his knee was healed. But for me, that was amazing. I think that that was a miracle. You know, God answered my prayer and he answered it accurately. I asked for us to get home and we got home. So God can heal. Just be specific. Maybe not too specific, but be specific. So for me, that was an amazing, miraculous healing for my dad. The second one, the more subtle one, but the one that we'll all have experienced, relates to my dad again. For about 40 years, my dad's had type 1 diabetes. He controls it with insulin and diet, and he's done so very well for those 40 years. But about 20 years ago, someone in the church asked to pray for him to be healed from his diabetes. And my dad said no, because in his mind, he is healed from it. The insulin that the doctors and the nurses give him actually allow him to manage it so well, he has a very good quality of life. So much so that my dad is actually able to help others that we know that have got diabetes into managing their diet, their insulin, and all that sort of stuff so that they've had a better quality of life. So if you ask my dad, he believes that he is healed because the doctors and the nurses are able to provide him with insulin and that allows him a good quality of life. And I agree with my dad. I think that not so much these days, but in years gone by, when people went into medical professions or most other professions, they would see it as a calling. And I believe that these callings are part of a God-given talent that we have for healing or for whatever it is that this calling is for. And I think that if you're a doctor or a nurse or a caregiver, you have this God-given talent and this God-given calling that allows you to help heal people because God is working through that talent. So if you ask my dad and you ask me, my dad is healed from his diabetes, but it's through the doctors and the nurses and the medical science that allows the medicine to be used for that. All of us will have had some experience in some way of that I'm getting the cold at the moment and I'm able to take paracetamol to help manage it. You know, all of us have a way of experiencing this healing, and I really do believe that God is healing us through this way. The third one, and one that I think is most common, but we don't identify directly with God healing us. I was really bullied at school. I was beaten up. I was sort of, you know, the whole of my class would sort of pick on me, tease me, all that sort of stuff. I went to a Catholic school, and when I became a Christian, my mum and dad decided to sort of remove me from a lot of the stuff that was happening in there. So, but that really set me apart as a target, essentially, for the kids. And kids are, they were cruel. And so I was bullied. And then later on in my life as well, I've had family members who've said some quite mean things to me. These things have made me feel less than worthy. They've made me feel that I'm not good enough. But the healing that's come from these things is from relationships that I have had after these events. I've sought prayer from my friends for these things so that I can forgive the people that hurt me and said things about me. All of us will have had a relationship. As Tim was saying in the children's talk this morning, we'll all have had at some point in our lives things said to us that have made us feel less than what we should be. And these things require healing. And the thing that most commonly allows us to heal from that is the good relationships in our lives. The people that we just are desperate to spend time with in our day-to-day. My mum's one of them. Every day, I pretty much, at about 10 o'clock or something, when I'm at work, speak to my mum on the phone. And we'll just chat through everything. We may have only spoken the day before, but we'll go through everything. And my relationship with my mum is one that I just love. I get so much out of it. I get so much healing out of it. You know, it's my mum. Everything that she says to me is great. And that relationship gives me healing. It says in Proverbs verse 14 to 4, gentle words are a tree of life. Words that we use can actually give people life. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. By doing good deeds and by having a gentle word for people, we can be that positive relationship for them. Through these relationships and words and actions, God can bless us. These good relationships can bring healing to our souls. They can cleanse us from the bad words that were spoken. And I can identify with that. The bullying and the family members that have said the things about me no longer have a hold on me. I've been broken free of them, and I know, and I've forgiven them for that. So I know that healing in this way happens today. And I know that it's a more common thing for us because we all have relationships in our lives, and that God can move through our words and actions because of it. But we tend to look for the amazing more often than we look for the common. And the reason we look for the amazing is because it's probably the times in our lives when we really know we need God most. So why do some of the prayers go unanswered? I've also experienced sometimes where prayers are unanswered and there's no visible or identifiable answer to those healings. These times are hard. They really stick in our minds. I think that a friend of mine had asked me to pray with her because her friend had got cancer. 20 years ago, this was probably the first person I'd ever heard of that had cancer that I had sort of direct contact with. So Sylvie and I, we prayed together several times for a few weeks. Sadly, our friend was not healed from cancer. And that really stuck with me. I still wonder to this day if I maybe prayed wrong or didn't use the right words. It's hard to get past these things. But I think that there's two answers for unanswered prayer. There's probably more, but I'm just going to look at two of them. One, the first one, you're not going to be surprised at this. The world is not perfect. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is near. Not the kingdom of heaven is here, but the kingdom of heaven is near. Because of that, we only get a taste of what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a glimpse of things to come. As Tim was saying in the children's talk, a time when the kingdom of heaven will be here, when there is no more suffering, when there is no more sickness. But until that time, this is an imperfect world. So we're only getting a taste of God's kingdom at this time. I know it's not the best, but it's where we're at with this world at the moment. And when we look at people like Job in the Bible, when he was tested, he lost everything. He lost his family. They were killed. He lost all of his possessions. Yet he kept his faith in God. In Job 42, verses 2 to 3, it says, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You asked, this is God speaking, you asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? And Job replies, it is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wondrous for me. Job at this point is trying to work out what's happening in his life. Why things have gone so bad. But he knows God's sovereignty. He knows God's love for him. And all he's saying is that he knows that there is wondrous things that God is in control of that he can't fathom. And in the end, Job is blessed. Because of his faithfulness, God blesses him. And because it's God's nature, God blesses him. The second thing I think that some prayers go unanswered is that God has a plan. I know this sounds corny, it's probably overused, and I would certainly be careful when I was using this in a conversation, because at some point, somebody just doesn't want to hear that when they're asking these questions. But I want to tell you about something that happened to me earlier this year. In April, my father-in-law was diagnosed with 4 tumours in his brain. And this came as such as a surprise to us. Last year, he was diagnosed with a tumour in his lung, and he'd been responding really, really well to the treatments. So when he was diagnosed with the brain tumours, this came as such a surprise. We were praying for him, and I know the church was praying for him as well. But despite our prayers, he wasn't healed, and he passed away within 2 months of being diagnosed with the brain tumours. For me now, at this point, several months later, I can see God has a plan, or I'm choosing to believe God has a plan. Because out of it, I'm getting to spend time with my mother-in-law. My husband's side of the family isn't a group of folks that we spend much time with. William and Margaret were very much sort of self-contained in their time for each other. But because of William passing, I get to see Margaret maybe once or twice a week. And she's amazing. I love her to bits. We have so much more in common than I actually ever realised. She's an amazing knitter. She's a knitting wizard. She is so great at knitting, and it's inspiring to see her talent, and I love it so much, and she talks to me about it, and I get excited about all the stuff that she does, the wee bags that she knits for the nurseries, or the parrots that she does for the parrot charity that Tracy, her daughter, volunteers with. It's amazing. So I've gotten to spend time with Margaret, and out of it, with that time that I'm spending, I may get to tell her about my faith, about the comfort that I've got from God in this time of William passing. Because I know that she's hurting and she's lonely. And I have to believe that out of this pain and this sorrow, that God can do something great. Because if there's nothing, then it just seems too much to handle for me at this time. It may not be as straightforward as that. Some of you might disagree with me, but I have to believe that something good has come out of this, and my relationship improving with my mother-in-law has been an amazing positive for me. So I'm choosing to see God working in this. So what can we do about it? What can we do about seeing God healing in this day? Well, we have to be persistent in our prayers. The Bible tells us to pray always and about all things. God wants us to talk to him and bring our prayer requests to him. Nikki Gumbel, in the Alpha video on this topic, quotes a guy who, unfortunately, I can't remember his name, but he says, if no one prays, no one gets healed. If all of us pray, some will get healed. It's better odds than if no one gets healed. So we need to be persistent in our prayers. We need to take every opportunity to do good. Because as we were saying, when we do good to one another, that brings healing. And it can heal parts of our minds and our bodies that either hide hurt or hold us back. By being persistent in prayer and taking every opportunity to do good, I think it also means to take every opportunity to receive prayer. Our pride, or just our nature, may let us say, oh no, it's not for us. But I strongly encourage you to take every opportunity for prayer, whether it's through your link groups, whether it's through the prayer team, or whether it's through your family and friends. We need prayer in our lives because this life is hard to do on our own strength. And by receiving prayer, we get topped up with God's strength. The other thing we need to do is trust in God's nature. If we trust that God's nature is that he wants to see healing and wholeness in our lives, then that is what we can set our faith on. God wants this so much for us that he sent Jesus to die for us and to save us. Jesus in the Greek translates to I save, but another translation in the Greek is also I heal. So God sent Jesus so that we can be saved and healed. And we need to trust in what's to come. There's going to be a time when there's no more suffering and no more sickness. The kingdom of heaven is near at the moment, but there's going to be a time when the kingdom of heaven is here. And we'll not have to worry about any of this. We will be in our Father, and it will be heaven. So today I challenge you to do one small thing. If you're struggling to believe that God can heal today, do this one thing. Spend more time with him. Pray for all things. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Pray for your work, your school, the church, the government. Start to talk to God about it all and get to know God's nature. Knowing God really well has been the only thing that I can account for the things in my life and for how I cope for them when I can't understand it any other way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that it's in your nature to heal us, to see wholeness in our lives. I pray for the relationships that we have in our day-to-day, and the healing that can be brought through these. I pray that we are able to spend more time getting to know you in the week to come. In your name, amen.